You gotta say, God, take control of this. I've done as much as I can. I will always try to help people. And I said, I'll do this till I can no longer breathe, you know?
Yeah.
I've just been through so much, and I just kind of feel like I'm alone, but I'm forgetting the one who's always helped me the most.
Yeah.
You know, I want to thank everybody here for Bethesda. You know, it's always, they always lift my spirits up. I have always had somebody to talk to whenever I have my feelings down or I'm hurt or something's happened. You know, God brought me through a lot. Deaths in the family or losing friends or, you know, relationship problems, things like that. You know, it's just God's helped me through so much, and I'm grateful for that.
Amen.
We got a worship team here tonight, and due to technical difficulties, it's taking some time, but we're going to get to it, amen? So here they are.
How are y'all this evening? Y'all say what is this worship?
Amen.
This is a new one, it's pretty simple. The sing along key note. Thank you.
please let us have some rain and bless this service. And anoint Cody as he preaches tonight and anoint our worship team. They don't engage in this time. Lord, help it. Help bless this time and offer it to you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. If you love him, why don't you put your hands together? Amen. 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 He says, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. How many of y'all know he's alive?
That's right.
Amen. We don't serve a God that's dead. He is alive and
that's
he
right.
is well.
Yeah.
And we serve that God. Spirit of the living God, fall
that's
fresh
right.
on us. That's what we need. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we are on night 3, is that right, of this revival, and I'm excited to be a part of it. We got a packed house. Praise God for that.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 I'm thoroughly convinced that the hope of this community, the hope of this world, is going to come through these young people rising up and being a witness for Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I thoroughly believe that. And they are in this room tonight. And I believe that us seeing the younger folks step up and say, yes, I'm going to have a hand in this thing. I'm not just going to sit back. This isn't my mom and daddy's religion, right? This isn't their relationship. I've got a relationship with God myself.
Yes.
And we are seeing that, and God is working in tremendous ways. Right. Well, I'm going to introduce these guys behind me. That violin is awesome.
Amen.
That's incredible. I love this. I love different forms and types of worship. You might go to somewhere and they got an organ. Somewhere else might have a violin. Somebody else might have a box. It don't matter.
Yeah.
You know, you're praising God. It don't matter. The Bible said make a joyful noise, right?
That's right.
So it don't matter. Amen. Amen. So on the drum here, we've got Mr. Josh, is it Pipkin?
Pipkin.
All right. Graduated from University of Georgia, is involved in Young Life. We also have Mr. Campbell Wallace on the violin here, Georgia grad as well, and is in Young Life. And we've got lead singer, Mr. John Manak.
Yeah.
Yes, John Manak, also University of Georgia grad, plays the guitar. I'm a University of Georgia grad. There's a theme going here. I need my Bible. Can you grab that for me? And I also have the pleasure of introducing our minister for tonight. This is a tremendous pleasure for me in many ways. This is his first time ever standing in a pulpit and proclaiming the gospel. And everyone in this room gets to be a part of that tonight. And it's an amazing thing because I was a little bit younger than you when I preached my first sermon. But I'm going to read this, and then I got something else that I want to tell you about you. This is a little bio here. This is Cody Lovin. He's the son of Bruce and Vicki Lovin. His home church, Bethesda Baptist Church here in Union Point. Cody graduated from Morgan County High School in 2011. He's currently attending the University of North Georgia and pursuing a degree in business marketing. Cody has been involved with Young Life's high school ministry for the last 2 years. And after we get one more song, we're going to hear the word. Y'all ready for that?
Amen.
All right. And I'll say this about Cody. I remember seeing him when he was much shorter than he is now. I don't know what happened. It just shot up. It's crazy. But seeing him at FCA camps, and I'm a little bitter that you're not with FCA in Young Life, but it's okay. But seeing him and just seeing that God had his hand on his life, I could see that.
Yes.
And the reason this is special to me, number one, because it's his first time and I'm getting to introduce him, but also just the pleasure that his parents have in this moment. It's a blessing to see your kid stand and proclaim the gospel.
Yes.
And if that's not your kid, if your kid is somewhere in jail or something else, you can't give up hope.
That's right?
Because God can still work in their lives.
Yep.
God can just still do something amazing and incredible. You keep praying and leave the rest up to God.
That's right.
And so it's awesome for me to see Cody get ready to bring the gospel. And I was thinking through this, and I think this is an appropriate time for me to read just a verse or two of Jeremiah. Because this is when Jeremiah was called to preach and proclaim the gospel. And this is what it says. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying..." This is the word of the Lord coming to Jeremiah, and I want you to receive this, Cody, right now. This is God's word coming to you. He said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." He said, "And before you were born, I consecrated you." He said, "I appointed you a prophet to the nations before you were even born." Then I said, "Lord God, behold," he said, "I don't know how to speak, for I'm only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm only a youth. For to all whom I send to you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them."
Yes.
"For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Yes. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth.
Yes.
And that's what I'm proclaiming over you tonight. Is that God's going to touch your mouth. And whatever you say is what he says. You just let it speak.
Amen.
And let the word speak. That's going to make the difference. Yes. Amen. So we're going to have one more song. And then we're going to hear the word.
Y'all stand with us as we sing one more.
bow with me in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this evening, Lord. Pray that you have a Cody tonight, Father. God, just speak to him. God, we just usher your presence in here, Lord. And God, we just love you. And thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. So we have a name to pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's give them a round of applause. And say that. I gotta move some stuff around because I can't really stay in one place. You can ask my mother, I've been like that since I was a child. Every gray hair she had, I'm just gonna stop that. We don't wanna start talking about that.
At least she has some hair left.
Amen, amen, Dad, at least she has some hair left. God is good, isn't he? He is a good, good father, right? It's going to take me a minute to get all set up here. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Man, I've been so anxious and nervous today. But this last 15 minutes when I just listened to that song, and he is such a good, good father, and he just calmed me down. And so we're going to do this tonight. I just want to tell you a little story. I want to get it started. Today has been a hectic day. I've been wide open. Me and my dad, I live on a farm, and today I was in the process of moving hay equipment to another field and moving the tractor to another field. And I loaded the tractor up onto the flatbed, and we started off. And Mr. Pep, you're not going to like this one, but see, our tractor has mirrors on the side of it, and it's a cab tractor. And so we were driving it in, and I guess along the way somewhere, I hit a branch and I broke one of the mirrors. And as I get in the tractor, I'm thinking, oh gosh, I'll never hear the end of this from Dad. And then before that even happened, Dad gave me a $100 bill and he said, all right, Cody, your job is simple. I want you to take the tractor to the new hay field and then take this $100 bill and go up to a produce market, buy some produce for this next week. And somewhere in the midst of all of that chaos, I lost the $100 bill. And so, I mean, I'm driving in the car. I'm like, God, this can't be happening. I searched through the whole Dodge truck, you know, looking around everywhere. I get to the house, and I search around my truck. I search around the yard, high and low, every crack and crevice in our house. And kind of come to the realization that I'm going to have to call Bruce Lovett. And it hits me, and I'm like, oh, no, I got to call Dad. So I get on the phone, and I'm talking to him on the phone, and I'm like, Dad, where do you want me to start with the news? Dad's like, what's going on, son? You know, he's real concerned at the start of it. What's going on, son? I'm like, Dad, well, first, In the drive over to the hayfield, one of the mirrors broke in the tractor. And Dad's like, you know, it's all right, son. He's real encouraging. It's all right. I said, well, that's not it, man. He said, what is it, son? I said, you know that $100 bill? I don't have it anymore. What do you mean? What? You don't have the $100 bill? I mean, it was like, Grandma just didn't make lunch. You know what I mean? It was terrible. I don't know where I came up with that. Grandma making lunch, but he said, you don't have the $100 bill. I'm like, no, sir. So I get off the phone with Dad, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this day is going so bad. I have to preach, and I need to be practicing, and what am I going to do? And I walk outside, and this is true. Andreas was there. This is a true story. I walk out of the door, and I'm walking to my truck, and there was laying right by my truck. I've searched all around it, and the $100 bill laid right by my truck.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And God works miracles in weird ways, and I want to go deeper with that. I want to go deeper with that story, and I want you to know that in life, life happens, doesn't it?
Yes.
Life happens. The little things in the day that kind of throw you off. It could be something even deeper than that. It could be that
And I'm sorry, I'm going to walk all over this stage, so you people in the front, y'all are going to be looking from left to right. But life, back on topic, life happens. And some of you coming here tonight, and you're going through some real stuff. And you're going through some hard things, and maybe financially you're struggling. Maybe there's been a divorce in your family. Maybe there's been your boyfriend or girlfriend broke up with you. You hadn't gotten the college that you wanted to get into. Whatever your situation might be, life happens. And my prayer is that tonight we can kind of dig deep into this story that Jesus tells us, and we can kind of pick through it, and we can see what Peter experienced in this story, but we can also see what Jesus experienced. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
So would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start on verse 22.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to start on verse 22. This is the story of Peter walking on water. And we're going to kind of read it, and then I'm going to explain it. We'll get some backdrop, and then we'll move on from there. He says in verse 22, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he prayed. After he dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.'
Yes.
'Lord, if it is you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' And Jesus says, 'Come, Peter.' Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, crying out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You have little faith,' he said. 'Why'd you doubt?' And then they climbed back into the boat, and the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I know you're in this place right now. I know you brought everybody here. Lord, I just believe that there are weary hearts in here, Lord. But what a place to be weary at in the house of God. Let the burdens be lifted up. Let their hearts be open, Lord. I pray that nothing I say be for my accomplishment, but only for your glory, Lord. You are the author and creator of me and everybody else in here, and the creator of this book. And so when we look in it, Lord, give us wise eyes to where we can see what you're saying. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Jesus kind of set the scene of what's going on in this story. Jesus had just fed the 5,000 people. He took a couple pieces of fish, a couple loaves of bread. He broke them up and he fed 5,000 people. I mean, Jesus was a rock star of his day. And that's important to understand, that Jesus, he would draw crowds together. People would come and see him. Just like Michael Jordan back in the 80s. I mean, late 80s, he was the man. Not to compare Michael Jordan or Jesus, but Jesus was the man. And so after he gets done feeding 5,000, people are coming up to him telling him, "Jesus, that's amazing. That you're unreal. I can't believe that you did that." And then his disciples come up to him because he's told them that he's only here for a short time. And so the disciples come up to him. They try to keep him on track. Like, "Jesus, look, that fish, man, that was some great fish. That was some good bread. But we gotta keep this moving. We got to keep going. Our ministry, it doesn't get end here." So the disciples, but Jesus... Let me rewind a little bit. But Jesus, he doesn't make a mistake, does he?
No.
He knows what's going to happen on that water with Peter.
That's right.
And he's already gone there, and he already knows that Peter's life is about to be changed. So he just tells the disciples, "Look, y'all go ahead. I'll meet you down there."
Yeah.
So the disciples, they take off, and they hop into this boat. And I want you to imagine this story. You're out on this boat. You're with your 12 friends. They probably haven't been together for very long. And they're out on this boat, and the wind starts to beat against the boat, and the waves kind of start rising. And before you know it, they're terrified. There's a storm, and And then off in the distance, they see a figure, and it's Jesus. And he's walking on this water. And if you know anything about Peter, you know that Peter, he's believed to be one of the oldest disciples. And naturally, when you get in a situation where you have younger people around you, you naturally want to take the leadership role. And so Peter, he's been nipping at the bit to show Jesus and show his friends that he has what it takes.
Yes.
So Peter, he jumps out of the boat and he starts walking on water. And let's look at Peter on this journey out to Jesus and apply it to our lives. So Peter, he hops out of the boat and he starts walking on this water. And as he's walking, you know, he's fixed on Jesus, right? He knows everything. He's seen this man. He's performed miracles.
Right.
He's performed all these amazing things. He's made the blind see. He's made the lame walk.
Yeah.
He knows the Jesus he's walking to when he first hops out of that boat. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
And he's walking, and step by step, wave by wave, he starts to get distracted. And a wave probably breaks right at Peter's feet, and he kind of takes his eye off of Jesus. And that black and white Jesus that we read about, this Savior, the Messiah that he knew, starts to turn real gray. And he can't really see it anymore. And Peter starts to sink. And I want to look at that in our life when we're in the face of a trial. And when life isn't happening. It could be a $100 bill that you lose, or it could be a number of things. You put yourself in the place of Peter. Kind of the first thing that tends to happen when life happens and we're in a trial is fear.
Yeah.
We kind of get in the middle of it and fear starts to happen. And we start feeling, oh my gosh, how did I get there? Oh, how did I lose a $100 bill? I don't know what I'm going to do. And yeah. You just kind of start freaking out. And then kind of you keep on going. And as Peter made that journey, he was fearful to start with. And then you start feeling isolation. You start feeling like you're by yourself, and you kind of look around you and you say, man, how did this happen to my family? You know, God, I come to church on Sundays. I do what I'm told to do. I feel like I lived a pretty upright life. Why is this happening to my family? Why is this happening to me? Why didn't I get in that college? And before you know it, you start feeling real alone. And that is Satan's playground in our life. I mean, let's just take it back to the very start. When things very first started, Adam and Eve, they're in the Garden of Eden. What did Satan have to do to tempt Eve? He had to get her by herself. He hates what we're doing right now. He hates the idea of community. He hates the idea that you might let somebody into your struggles and to your pain. Because what he wants you to do is he wants you to just keep it all in and man up. Our society has taught us, keep it in, hold it together. You can never be broken. You can never be weak.
Yeah, that's right.
So we feel alone. And we start feeling afraid. And typically, what ends up leading, maybe not in all cases, but a lot of times doubt is surely there to follow. And if we're all real honest, we've all doubted God's power. We've all been in the midst of those trials and those struggles, and we say, man, God, I just don't know what to do. And you know, you seem like this real black and white guy, just like when Peter was walking on that water, when he started walking, that black and white Jesus turns real gray in the face of a trial. And you start saying, God, I know that I love you. I know you're real, but I can't see you and I can't feel you. And so you start doubting who he is. It's okay. I mean, I've been there, and every dad can attest to it. No, Nolan can attest to it. Everybody sitting in this front seat can attest. Doubting is a natural thing. Let's think about Peter. He had the living Jesus standing right in front of him, and he still doubted.
That's right.
He had the living, breathing, touchable, feelable Jesus right in front of him, and he still doubted his power.
That's right. Yeah, come on.
So take a breather. It's okay.
Yeah. That's right.
Kind of, Peter, he ends up drowning and sinking and crying out. And Jesus is shortly there to follow. And that's kind of who I want to look at next. Where is Jesus in this story? Where is the Messiah? Where is the one who called him out of the boat? He's already in the water.
Yeah.
He's already in the struggle.
Yeah.
He already knows what you're going through. He already knows that, man, life is tough. He's already in the water, and he's there. He's mighty to save. We have a Jesus who promises that he's the same today, tomorrow, and forever.
Right.
And we start sinking in life, and I just want you to know that Jesus, he is mighty to save, and he really is in the struggle. Amen?
That's right. Yep. Yes.
Let's get some amens. Amen?
Amen.
He is mighty to save. Because let's take it back 2,000 and some odd years ago. What did he do? He went before us there. I'm a rightful sinner. You're a rightful sinner, but he takes our place. And in all of his majesty and all of his beauty and all of his wonder, Jesus goes to the cross, dies a sinner's death, lives a sinless life for you and I, and he takes our place over and over. And when we get in the trial, he takes our place over and over again. Amen?
That's right. Yeah.
When I look at this story, kind of one of the first things that comes to my mind is, God, why did you call Peter onto the water? Why did you call Peter that? I mean, the waters were rough. This is a storm we're talking about. Why did you call Peter onto that water? Why do you call us in life? Why do struggles and why do circumstances happen in our life? And I'll tell you why, because we serve God. We serve a God who's telling Peter, he's saying, come.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's saying, come on, Peter.
That's right.
He's telling this church right now, come on, look, I know it's tough.
Yeah.
I know it's tough.
Amen.
I know this life, it'll beat you down to the ground and it's tough, but come on, come deeper with me, because maybe I love you so much that I'll let you go through the struggle. I'll let you feel like you're about to start drowning, and I'll show you how much I love you just when I pull you out of the water. Mighty to save. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Jesus, he is the author and creator of who we are. And I'm going to go ahead and call the worship team. I'm going to go ahead and call y'all back up here. I want to make it real clear. I want to make it real clear that Peter, he's never, ever been closer to Jesus than that walk back to the boat.
Yeah, that's right.
He's never been closer to Jesus. And you have to believe in your life and in your struggle. And every day, whether it's a $100 bill or you have a family member who's battling with drug or alcohol addiction.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to Jesus, because I promise you, whether it's a $100 bill or you just went through a divorce, he's mighty to save, and he's going to pick you up into your arms, his arms. He's going to walk you back to the boat, and you're going to see the waves really start to cease.
Yes.
Believe it. Please believe it.
Yes.
The reason God laid this on my heart is because this past summer has been so tough. I've been dealing with a lot myself. And he has to teach me, just like he had to teach me over and over again. It's, Cody, I want you to go deeper with me. Cody, I want you to come onto the water.
Yeah.
Cody, I want to take you deeper than you ever thought, because he loves me that much.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
I love that Jesus used water in this story. And I love that he uses parables in life, doesn't he? We can look around in this world and we can see Jesus in everything if you look hard enough.
That's right.
If we look at let's just look at a little grass seed. Mr. Pep, you might know a lot about this. Let's look at a little grass seed and rain. Okay, let's see the comparison. Let's see how they interact with each other. So a little sprig of grass, when there's no water, it kind of starts to get wilted. It's happening right now before our eyes. You see the grass, it starts to kind of lean over. It don't want to grow. But what does Jesus do? He sends the rain, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He sends a trial in life, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He sends the rain, and it beats us down into the ground.
Yeah.
And that little sprig gets beat down into the ground. It gets hammered by the rain. But then the sun comes out, and what does that sprig do? It grows.
Amen.
That's what he's doing in your life. And I just want to tell you this so you can have a clear, you can leave this church, and maybe you could brush off the goggles and you can see Jesus in a new light.
Yeah.
Yes. He is mighty to save, and life is hard.
It is.
But He's always in the water with you.
Yes.
That's right.
Y'all can go ahead and play a little bit. Kind of gets me fired up, and I have a little spiritual music in the background. Yeah.
Amen.
I want to end tonight. I promise I'm landing the plane. The Holy Spirit's moving in me right now. I feel like I could talk for a couple of hours. But y'all might not have ate dinner tonight, so I'm going to let you go. Psalm 66. Verse 9, he says, He has preserved our lives. He has kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, you test us. You refine us like silver.
Yeah.
You brought us into prison. You laid burdens on our back. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. But you brought us to a place of abundance.
Yes.
Now I want you to believe. Let's pick through this real quick before I close. I love the idea that He refines us like silver. Amen.
Right.
He refines us like silver. And I love in verse 12 when it says, we went through fire and water. Because you don't go alone. You're never alone. You don't go alone. You don't go through this life. You don't walk through this life alone. He's mighty to save. At the end of verse 12, this is what I want y'all to take with you today. But you brought us to a place of abundance. Believe that in your heart. You can believe that in your heart that no matter what this life throws at you, no matter what this life throws at you, you have a God who's in the water with you, and He's refining you like silver. He's making you come onto that water, come deeper with Jesus. He picks you out of the water, and He brushes you off, and you'll never be the same. During this time, as a band, they're going to play a song, and I'm going to ask Nolan and my dad, will y'all come stand up in the front? Philip, would you here with y'all? You go on this side, Peter. Look, like I said earlier, Jesus, He hates the idea of you letting somebody into that junk that you have in your life. He hates that idea. And so tonight, as they're going to play two songs, and during the first song, if you've never accepted Jesus into your life, come and talk. Would you come? There's no better time than right now. If you want to come up to the altar and you want to pray, please come and pray. This altar is open for you. If you can't pray, we have people to pray with you right over here. They'll be happy to pray. They'll be happy to walk you through whatever you're going through. You have people that care about you in here right now.
Yeah.
Would you come?
All who are thirsty, come. Walk upon the water. wanted to say something else real quick. We're going to let him come up here, and then I'm going to close us out here tonight. What a great time in the Lord tonight. Amen.
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 You know, it's like Cody said, God is mighty, and he saves.
Yes.
Yes.
And you know, when we have a problem, God is bigger and he is stronger than that problem.
That's right. Yes.
And if
that's
anybody
right.
wants to argue against that, they can come down here and I'll tell them, you can come down here and ask the people of Bethesda Baptist Church how they know that God is stronger than
Amen.
That problem.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
We are strong believers.
Yes.
We will fight this to the end, and I know it because I know every one of you has heart and you believe in God with all your heart and your soul.
Yes.
I truly believe that every one of us will walk through the heavenly gates, we will get the key to our mansion, we will get our heavenly rewards, and we will be able to walk the streets paved with gold
Amen.
With our fellow believers.
Amen. 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 Guys, I want to close by saying this. Let me tell you something. Cody preached on Peter tonight. Let me tell you, Peter was a character. Amen.
Right.
And a lot of us have kind of a tainted past. Let me tell you what you can take away from this. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church.
Yes.
The gates of hell shall not prevail. He was talking about that wayward man named Peter. So don't think that your problems are beyond God's solution.
That's right.
God's got a solution for you, amen.
Amen.
God's got something for you. All you got to do is surrender yourself to him. You see, the problem with America today is we got believers who won't surrender.
Right.
They won't surrender. They're afraid to get out on the water. Let me tell you something. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. Amen. You got to get out of the boat. Jesus is on the water. He's calling for you. And I'm going to tell you something. I love it when people get excited in church.
Yeah.
I'm tired. You know, we'll go to a ball game and we'll hoop and holler and act completely crazy. But when we get in God's house, sometimes here we are. I mean, if you can't praise the King of Kings, then I don't know anybody else worthy of praise. Amen.
Yeah.
So let's give God some glory tonight. Amen. Let's give him some glory. I tell you. After these three young men who obviously have an anointing from the Holy Spirit
yes.
have preached, I'm a bit concerned that a search committee may be formed and my job may be over with. Amen? Sometimes these revivals can be dangerous because you get these preachers in here, people say, he's a little bit better than our old geezer. We might just have to reconsider. But guys, it's been a great three nights. We got one more to go. And tomorrow we got ice cream, amen. And from the looks of this crowd, we better call Mayfield and tell him to bring a truck in here, amen. That's all right. We'll have plenty. Bethesda folks, y'all hear that right? Amen. We need ice cream. Look at all these people. We probably got 130 people here tonight, 120. Listen, amen. Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit convicted some people here tonight. And guys, that's what it's all about. If all you come to church for is to feel good, get your ears tickled. I did a sermon one time that was called, If You Want Your Ears Tickled, Get a Q-Tip.
Yeah.
Amen. That was the name of the sermon because I need to hear the word. I need to be convicted when I hear God's word. And sometimes I feel good, but sometimes I feel guilty. Amen.
Yeah.
And that's okay because we serve a loving God.
Yeah.
Jesus loves you.
That's right.
All we love you.
Right.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, what a great way to end our day in your house, praising you, lifting you up, Lord. I can think of no better way to end the day. God, I pray that each and every person here begins their day by praising you. I pray that that's the beginning of their day, the middle of their day, and the end of their day. And God, when we do that, we We know we're focusing on you and we're keeping you at the forefront of our lives. And God, I pray for safety for each and every person here tonight. I pray, God, you'll return them back home safely. And I pray tomorrow night we'll have as many or more people than we had tonight as we close out this revival. I thank you for these young men who have heeded the call to ministry, God, to preaching your word. Unafraid and bold in their conviction. Lord, we need young men and women like this.
Yes.
We need them to stand out for Jesus.
Yes.
We need them to stand up for your word, stand on your word.
Yes.
And God, this world will be a whole lot better place to live. God, I thank you for the anointing you've had on us here tonight. And I just pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will descend upon us again tomorrow night. And Lord, that we'll end this thing out on a positive note. And God, I just pray for the hearts that were touch tonight, God, that you will deal with them. God, that you will bring them into, for some, a saving knowledge of you. God, I pray if there's anyone here tonight that felt the calling to accept Jesus as their Savior, that they will find one of us, Lord, before they leave. Or God, if there's just a special prayer need, that they'll come and find us before they leave here tonight, Father. We give you the praise and glory, Father. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a safe night. Guys, y'all are super.
Good job, man. Enjoy that. Y'all keep Cody in line. Do y'all work with Cody?
I love Cody.